WSBGRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
You're listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame football from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me is Ed Sullivan and Mike Brammer. And the hits just keep on coming, boys. Another devastating, horrible loss. There's no good spin on any of this. We're going to spend about 15 minutes trying to find some answer from the most recent setback to the Notre Dame football program. And I think we have to start by asking, you know, the tough questions about Charlie Weiss again. So let's get right to it. Ed, give me your overview on the significance of this loss. Aside from all the statistics, what does this loss mean for the direction of the program?
Well, the direction of the program was bad before this loss, and it's worse after. But I don't think this particular loss, look, as we talked about last week, these guys were ranked in the top five for a reason. They totally outclassed us talent-wise on the field and more experience. And so I wasn't expecting anything great. But the problem is that no one seems to be prepared to not get blown out. And there was an article in the South Bend Trib today, you know, Charlie Weiss has to clean up the mess that's his making.
Yeah, I want to talk about that article. I actually think that this is a pretty good article. I usually don't like much of what Jeff Carroll has to say, but I think he nailed it.
Well, I thought he overstated it. I mean, I think there's some points that are correct, but he kind of overstates it. And it's interesting that you agree with that because
I know where you're going with this. I mean, I don't think anybody here likes to think about that we could potentially be blown out. It's not just that. It's the way we're getting blown out. You know, I wouldn't have a problem if a fifth-year starter on the offensive line who's played in several big games starts the game out by hiking the ball 10 feet over the kid behind him. And that just doesn't make any sense as a fifth-year senior to do that. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you expect from a freshman who's up against 110,000 and plus Michigan staring down his throat. I don't understand that, and you can't point to anything except something is going wrong with this team internally that we don't know about. There has to be something going on behind the scenes because
it doesn't
make any sense.
It doesn't. I think we can agree something's wrong because getting beat at Michigan, nobody can really say we were surprised. Yes, I predicted a win simply out of emotion, of course, but it's the way it's happening that indicates something else is going on here. And getting back to the article in the South Bend Tribune from Jeff Carroll, his key points, I think, are on target. And that's simply that, you know, what Charlie Weiss's, I think he does overstate it when he attacks Charlie Weiss's character, his, you know, the arrogance and hubris and so forth. But here's what's at the cause of this, I believe. Charlie Weiss's MO coming out of New England was as this offensive guru, he gives you a different look every week. He'll completely change his offense from one week to the next. These were the things that everybody saw in the NFL. These were what all the this is what all the experts were saying. Okay. Now, he's doing that approach this year with this team, and that's what's wrong. That's what's not gelling. And you, the quotes in the paper today from a post-game press conference from some of the athletes, you see phrases like grab bag.
That phrase really scared me when someone used that phrase, a player. That was very telling.
Anthony Vernigula says, well, in offense, you know, we've grab-bagged every week. That is absolutely the case. And this gets back to some of the conversation we had after the Georgia Tech game. You got to scratch your head about the choices he made X and O-wise going into Georgia Tech. Jeff Carroll's point is that Weiss squandered the preseason camp in August with putting in this radically new offense for Demetrius Jones. Then we go into week two. Now you put in the Jimmy Clausen offense. Week three, he runs a hybrid offense, which looks a lot like what Clausen ran in high school, to be honest with you. And this is Weiss's MO. Now, it may work in the NFL, but with this team of young guys, it's clearly not working. We don't even have to debate, is this the right thing to do? It's clearly not.
Well, that's right. And I think one other good point he had were things like, why not win the coin toss and kick? Why not play field position?
I don't know that I got a problem with that. I mean, I think Weiss knew. I mean, it's indicative of what he ran on the very first play of the game, that Weiss knew he was up against a monster. I mean, I think I don't necessarily have a problem with that. Again, I think it gets back to the whole psyche of this team just not being able to do anything right. I mean,
well, Bram, that's exactly the point. If the psyche of the team is questionable, you massage the psyche by putting them in positions where they could be successful. And, Ed, I agree with you on the point of the coin toss. There is no clear answer. You always defer or you always take the ball. It really needs to depend on the team that you have. Charlie Weiss's philosophy is, I want the ball as often as I can get it. We want as many possessions as we can get. Okay, that's not inherently wrong. But with this team, you have to give them a chance to play some field position and get to put the defense on the field first.
We haven't played field position all year, and he didn't for 2 years before that. And it worked for him, and that's fine. But one of the things he was supposed to be known for was adjusting to his personnel, not forcing a system onto people. Well, this he hasn't done that.
Well, he's adjusted.
Well, he doesn't have much to adjust to. I mean, you got to admit that. There's not a whole lot going on the offensive line right now.
Well, that's true, but maybe part of that is the phrase grab bag comes to mind. He has never, ever committed to having a running game. The running game has always been a counterpunch for him. And I'm not saying that we're sitting there with a powerful running game that we should have been using for the last 3 weeks. But there is no way they are so bad that they cannot get positive overall yardage in 3 games with the run. And they don't have that.
What makes somebody slow off the ball and, you know, slow to execute? Confusion. It makes you look slower and less aggressive. And I think that's what's happening. We don't, obviously, we're not at practice, and we don't know the overall scheme of what they're really trying to do. But what we can tell is that we look slow and unaggressive. And that, to me, comes from a question of confusion or lack of confidence in what you're doing. Why would there be a lack of confidence? A, experience. That's obvious. But B, if you're grab-bagging and changing your offensive philosophy and your scheme week to week, you're not going to have that level of confidence. You know, you go back to the Holtz era. I know it's easy to always say things were better when. But you go back to the Holtz era, and I guarantee you those guys knew in certain situations what we're going to, because this is our identity on offense. Here's what we're going to run. And certain confidence.
Yeah, but we might be in a situation where we've got a team like Holtz's 94 team that had a ton of talent but couldn't do anything right. And Holtz grabbed at anything he could, including sending them into a bowl game we shouldn't have been at with green jerseys on, hoping that might do it and we get blown out.
Oh, that has nothing. We're talking about the fundamental choice is not green jerseys, but what we're running and the execution on the field.
I know, my point is maybe that's what's going on with this team, that there's a bunch of guys that are not gelling together, that maybe don't like each other, that's going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, because there's got to be something that explains this. It doesn't. You can't just hang it on the fact that we're grab-bagging offensively. You got guys that aren't fundamentally doing positive things. I mean, how can you? Granted, you can say that we're confused, but these guys aren't making plays, and they're not that bad athletes.
Well, Mike, I would agree with you that when you're this bad, you have to look at everything in the program as being a factor. Not only the X and O choices and what they're doing in practice, but things like the intangibles, the chemistry, and the leadership.
Well, yeah, I think
everything is up for question right now, so that's
right.
A valid point.
I think the other point in Carroll's article was, hey, look, Charlie, now's not the time to be arrogant with your players. He's going back to the mentality of, all right, let's start over with training camp. I think that's the wrong thing.
No, that's absolutely the right thing to do.
He's got to win his team back over, and the way you do that is you hole up right now and you say, look, fellas, it's us against the world, all right? Nobody, including the Notre Dame faithful, has any confidence in you guys to win, but I do, and you and I are going to get through this together. I don't think he's doing that. I think Charlie's saying, hey, you guys better get on page with me, and if I'll do whatever I got to take to find 22 guys that will, and we're going to go out and fight.
Well, Mike, you bring up a good point that he could lose the team, okay? I don't think – that's certainly a valid concern. But I don't think saying we're going to a training camp mentality, we're going back, we're practicing on Sunday, I don't think that signals that he is –
No. That in and of itself doesn't. My point is, if he's taking the approach of you guys stink and I'm going to find 22 guys that are.
I don't think he has said that. I haven't heard him say that.
I don't know. My fear is that he's beating these guys down and he's not standing shoulder to shoulder.
Well,
with them.
Listen, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. All we can do is try to decipher the public comments. And there's, in my opinion, there's nothing in the public comments that suggests that he's doing that. Now, is this guy a intense, hard-nosed competitor? Yes, and I'm sure. That things are probably a little tense in team meetings and film sessions and on the field, and they should be. But I think Charlie Weiss is also experienced enough and smart enough to not kick a dog when he's down, okay? I mean, I don't think that he's going to lose this team psychologically because he puts the whip to him.
In addition to that, I don't know, this whole thing about Charlie Weiss's arrogance. And that's what I was bothered about the article. It just goes too far. Has there been some mistakes bred of overconfidence in his ability to scheme or whatever? Mistakes of judgment in trying to do too much? Yeah. But now to, like, assassinate the man's character as the problem is he's arrogant.
Yes, I agree.
Every single head football coach in America is arrogant. If you don't have a certain measure of it, then you're going to be a failure. You should get out of the profession. But within that, okay, Charlie's no more arrogant than the poodle, for that matter.
Yeah, I would agree with you. When I say I agree with Carol's article, I do think the personal attack is maybe too far. But the points that he makes in that. Some of the choices have just been the wrong choices, and this is the learning curve of Charlie Weiss as a head coach, again, as we talked about. The bottom line is, talent-wise and experience-wise, we weren't going to be very good, but he's making it worse by some of the choices. Like you pointed out, not playing field position, not deferring on the opening toss, the flavor of the week offense. I think those are valid critiques of Charlie Weiss. Agreed?
Yeah, but you can't hang. I know, but you can't hang it on. I mean, look at Ambrose Wooden. Okay, you're going into the corner of the end zone. You got nowhere to go. You're going to go out of bounds, and you haven't yet turned your head around to look at the ball. I mean, that kind of stuff has been going on for 10 years at Notre Dame, where we don't have guys playing big time defense. And with the 3-4, you have to have that. I mean, you have to have stud athletes at these critical positions, and we don't have it.
No, would you agree with this statement? There's a way we could be 0-3, and we'd still have confidence in the coaches. That didn't happen this year.
There's a way we could have been
0-3, and this group of young, inexperienced, and in some cases not overly talented athletes did not have to be at this stage where our rushing offense for the season is -4.7.
Yeah, Ed, absolutely. Let's not go through all the ugly stats. It's too much to take. But I agree with you 100%. It doesn't have to be this bad. And the reason it's this bad, okay, my opinion is the reason it's this bad is because the coaching staff has made some poor choices that has put us in this situation. Moving forward, this is still the guy and still the staff. You look through, offensively at least, you look through the Notre Dame record book, and what they've accomplished in the last 2 years is very, very impressive, and it's a reflection of the ability and the leadership of the coaching staff, and let's not forget that. Has he made some bad choices with a young, inexperienced team? Absolutely.
The fact is, Mike, the question, is he the guy for us, et cetera, he's earned the right to have more time and to have his recruits fully fill out the program. But this is a serious setback in the confidence of the head guy. I mean, you cannot sugarcoat the way this has gone down. And we tried for a few weeks, but you can't sugarcoat the way this
has gone down. It's still early in the season. I mean, I agree.
It's not early in the season.
I mean, we still got a lot more games to play.
Hey, we still have Navy and Duke and Stanford. So
yeah, I mean, my point is that Weiss is the guy still for me. I mean, I'm not saying that Weiss is in trouble. We need to think about Cannon. No way. He's got way too much. He's too sharp of a guy. He's been there. I mean, you can't
agree.
He did it 2 years ago. I mean, you can say what you want, but Mike's right. And looking at the record books, they were impressive. There's no way to look at it. He is very impressive on the offensive side of the ball. He hasn't shown it yet this year, but it's way too early to be saying that Charlie Weiss needs to be considered for being tossed.
Exactly. That's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. No. And I think we all agree with that. Correct, Ed? Mistakes are being made. there's something wrong, but long term, this is the right guy. We all agree.
I'm the guy who waited until the loss to BYU to call for Ty's ouster. So
You're that guy. Okay.
Keep in mind,
before we wrap it up, I just want to throw this out there. Just to maybe give us something to hang our hat on. Era was 0-9 at Northwestern. I know it was Northwestern, not Notre Dame. Holtz went to South Carolina, didn't win a game. Okay, there are great coaches that have horrible years. Right now, Charlie's having a horrible year, but I think he can still be a great coach in Notre Dame and take the program to where we all know it should be. So on that note, let's leave it on a high note. We got to have something to hang our hat on, okay? So let's leave it on a high note. But we'll be back on Tuesday morning with a new show featuring Mike Coffey from ND Nation, and that should be very interesting to get a sense of the ND Nation crowd and what they're thinking and feeling about the situation. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame football. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me today has been Ed Sullivan and Mike Brammer. If you have any questions or comments, please post them at domeanddomer.com, or you can send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com. Until then, remember, I'm Dome, and they're Domer.